I didn't know when Pastor Rob asked me to preach today, I didn't know that it is the last Sabbath of Pastor Mike for us, his service in here as our pastor. So I went to him a while ago and I said, Pastor, I didn't know that it was your last Sabbath. I said, no, my official last day was actually last Monday. It's only for his, today is just his memorial. And of course, we laugh. I said, what do you mean memorial? Well, he should be preaching now, I told him, you know. And also, I didn't know that we have a pastor from the conference who's Pastor Jim. He happens to be Jim also. And he should be preaching too. And I don't know why they chose me to preach. Talking about memorial, I'm becoming a little emotional right now because the topic and the sermon that I'm about to preach, I preached this also the day before a memorial. And it was a memorial service for my aunt. And I was also emotional that day when I was preaching this. And after emotional preaching, people came to me and said, you should be preaching this again. I said, I don't know. I usually don't like to repeat my sermons. Well, today, that's about almost 7 years now. Somehow the Lord impressed me to preach this, and I don't know whose memorial it will be after this. Lo and behold, last night when adoration was about to practice for the choir last night, and I was waiting for everybody or members coming, I got a message from my siblings. Mom was brought to the emergency room. And she's about 96 next month. So I became emotional. I said, Lord, do you still want me to preach? I was struggling whether to call Pastor Rob, and I was already about 10 o'clock. When I got home, after the choir got finished, and I was about to run to San Diego to be with my mom. I want to see him. I want to see her. Because I don't know what will happen. Because anyway, somehow the Lord impressed me. Jim, I can take care of your mom better than you can take care of it. And I said, okay, Lord, you want me to preach? I will preach. To make a long story short, I've been in touch with the doctors and the nurses and all that. Just before I stood up coming here, I got a text message that said, Mom woke up. Lord, thank you very much. Before I start, let's bow our heads again for a word of prayer as I kneel. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you, Lord. You caused a miracle in her life about almost 4 years ago. You're causing a miracle again. Thank you, Lord, that you promise that you can take care. And you can take care of us right now, O Lord, as we listen to your word. We came here, O Lord, to listen to your word. We came here to digest everything that you have prepared for us. May we not only listen, O Lord, but that we will really long to see your face. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon is We Shall See Him As He Is. You probably have an idea where that title is coming from. Well, that's from, that's from the scripture reading that was read to us a while ago by in the scripture. Thank you very much. So let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and I'd like us to focus on this and digest this particular verse. I know you're all very familiar with this. I usually like to do an expository sermon, but I chose this time just one text and digest it, and whether it really will do something for us today. It says, 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, what? Be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So that's where we get the title. I think I showed this picture a while ago, some time ago, and this is my family. We're 11 children. The family, the youngest, of course, is not there. I am showing this because I remember when I was a kid. Again, it's about my mom again. Mom, think about a mom who would feed all these children. And she would go to the marketplace to buy grocery stores, and she would always, groceries from the store. Apparently, I haven't slept last night, so my mind is a little slow. But she would always bring me with her, and with this basket. You know, it's a Filipino basket, right? So it looks like that. And I was still a young boy, not even in school yet. And understandably now, of course, she has to carry somebody. She will have to have somebody to help her carry that basket to have all that grocery for everybody, right? But when it gets heavy in there, when that basket becomes full and it gets heavy, that little boy, can you imagine that little boy carrying that around? And then wherever she went. So my mom would leave me to a stall and to a vendor who apparently she trusted. And she would leave me to a stall there. And can you imagine what this little boy would think? I said, "Okay, Jim, stay by here. As I buy some more, I go around and I leave that you here." And you know what a boy would be feeling, right? What if my mom will not come back? And I was saying to myself, okay, I will. And I was a pretty obedient boy, so I would be there. I didn't know who the vendor would be that was there, but I trusted my mom. And then I would wait for my mom to come back and pick me up. Somehow, that waiting feels like it's forever. It's like, okay, will she come back? And then after, I don't know how to count the time then, but I could count 1 to 10, 20. So to entertain myself, I would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I said, if by 20 she's not coming, I don't know if she will come again. Then I said, 1, 2, 3, 5. By the time it gets 20, mom doesn't come. And I said, okay, I'll count again another 20. And still mom doesn't come. Another 20. Still mother's. And you would imagine a little boy like that. What would he do? What would he do if mom doesn't come back? And guess what? When mom was away, you would think that this little boy, who was always, having always been curious about almost anything, would be curious about his surroundings, right? And so, would he be talking to the vendor or looking at the stuff that's around her? No. In fact, to this day, I don't remember anything that was surrounding me. I didn't know what was happening except three things. Well, those things and things that are strange, that are unusual, and also that are tragic. Those are the only three things that I could remember. I remember this guy walking on the street, just walking like that. He's a ragtag man, carrying all this junkies, and then he would walk in there. And then he stopped right in front of me, and as a, suddenly he shouted, "Tumiglang sa buong kadiliman." Don't ask me what that means. And I got so scared. So that's the one thing that I only remember. The rest I couldn't remember. And there's another one that actually I remembered. There's this vendor somewhere a little from a little distance. She would always cry, "Bawang, bawang, bawang, bawang." It was so unusual. "Bawang, bawang, bawang." And she would call everybody from about that bawang. Bawang means garlic in the Philippines. And so she was sort of selling garlic. So that, because she keeps on saying it, that's why I remembered it. All right? And the other thing that was really tragic that I still remember was that I didn't want to put up graphics there because it could be too graphic for you. There was this carabao, you know, it's a water buffalo in the Philippines, carabao that walked through the street, and he was so running about over anything that on its pathway. And as that carabao went through with the big horns, there was this pregnant young lady that was also walking, and she ran through that lady, and boy, all the bloody things that I saw there was really tragic to me as a little boy, and those were the only things that I remember. Nothing else I could remember. Why? While I'm sure there's a lot of things that was going on. In fact, probably the vendor was talking to me, but even that I could not remember. Why do you think that is? Because my mind is so preoccupied with what? My mom, when is she coming back? We always think we are Adventists, Seventh-day Adventists, right? And our name means what? Adventists, waiting for what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know. For a long time, I haven't heard a sermon about the second coming of Christ. So probably that's the reason why God impressed me again to preach on these, because we really need to live according to our name. Adventists waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps if we don't have that in mind always, there's nothing that would motivate us better in doing things for the Lord. Oh, yes, a lot of pastors can pound on you, okay? Please join the ministry. Please join do Bible study. Please visit this, visit that. Let's all do all these activities in the church. But that all falls into our ears and goes away. Perhaps because we don't know the purpose why you are, and I am, a Seventh-day Adventist. We probably are so convinced that, yes, we are seventh days. That's why we come here every seventh day, right? But we forget that our longing is to wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. But what does that mean to you and me? Is it really your passion? Is it really what motivates you? And by the way, why do you want to get to heaven anyway? Is it simply because, I just want to get to heaven. I just want to live for not dying? Well, for me, that little boy was left by a stall with strangers, the only thing that actually was left in my mind that motivates me to why I want to go home is because I want to see my mom again. To me, I thought it was taking forever. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, somehow we here on earth, we are so engrossed with the hic and nunc, the here and the now. So we got so focused on the many things, the hustles and bustles in life and all the daily chores, and everything when we used to do. Somehow the priorities become distorted in our lives, such that living here on earth is all I want to do. Or that's most important. And that's why last night when my mom was brought to the emergency room, I said to myself, okay, what's really the Lord's will? Do we pray for her to live again? She's almost 96. And very fragile. Is that all? Somehow, I struggled on how I could convince my brothers and sisters, you know, let's trust the Lord, because we will see her again. And when the disciples were left by Jesus Christ when going to heaven, that was the thing that actually motivated them, and that's why they were on fire for the Lord. Because when Jesus Christ said, I will come again, what did they do? Okay, we'll come again, we'll sit down here, we'll do nothing. Oh, that was the one that really gave them passion for souls. And I hope you're longing to see God's face as He really is what motivates you to be a real Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Instead of us focusing on the here and now, our focus should be on the eternal things. Okay, enough for all those illustrations, right? Let's go into the text that I would like us to look into. We shall see Him as He is, as I've said. That title, as I've said, came from that particular verse, 1 John 3:2, as we said. And it's in the last line of that verse. It says, we shall see Him as He is. And that's a promise. Don't you long to see Him as He is? You and I know only a little glimpse of how God may look like. In fact, if we look at the pictures on books and even the Bible about Jesus Himself, that's not the real picture of Him, right? Of course, we read all the descriptions about God from Genesis to Revelation, but even that revelation is just a glimpse of what we know about God or about Jesus Christ, correct? But do you long to see Him as He is? Now, before the particular clause, there is actually a word that I'd like to point out. There's a word for. For we shall see Him as He is. Interestingly, well, for, so that must be a conjunction connecting one idea to this clause. And you know what that clause is? Before that, it says, we shall be what? Like Him. Oh boy, that to me is more exciting. Why? Because when we shall see Him as He is, we shall be like Him. This is what the text is saying, isn't it? In fact, He did not say, okay, oh, by the way, what's so interesting is the word for is coming from the Greek word hoti, which actually literally means because. In fact, the young literal transliteration of that particular text, it says, we shall see Him because we will see Him as He is. It's giving us the reason why we shall be like Him. It is not saying we shall be like Him, then we will see Him as He is. It did not say that, right? But it says, we shall see Him because we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. In other words, our being like Jesus or like God is dependent on us seeing him as he is. Now, why is that important? Because I've actually been listening to many discussions about all this, about living a Christian life on this earth. And it's a lot, you know, there's a lot of distorted thinking about and theology that has been discussed, but even among the Seventh-day Adventists, some groups say, okay, well, we need to be like Jesus first, otherwise we won't see him. Or some say, oh, no, we need to not be sinning, because like Jesus, he's not sinning. Unless we are like him, we cannot see him. Well, that may be something, but this particular text actually says no. It actually says we will see him. Why? It gives a reason. Because we will be like him because we shall see him as he is. You see, well, as soon as we see him as he is, we become like him. That's exactly what I was saying. It's not saying, okay, you need to be like Jesus or you won't see him. And a lot of people are preaching that kind of idea. They say, okay, you need to be like, okay, I'm not saying that we need not be like Jesus, okay? Well, wait for me. And by the way, notice also that it says, we shall be like him. It doesn't say we shall become like him. Okay, what's the difference? Be is to be. You're being, right? Becoming is more of a process. It's a process that's going on. So that particular text is telling us that when we shall see him as he is, we will be like him. It won't be a process of us being like him. Why am I emphasizing that? Because there are three different Greek words for the word change in the Bible, in the New Testament. And these are the ones. One is a metamorpho, metaschematizo, and also alasso. Okay. You are very familiar with metamorpho, I'm sure, where we get our word metamorphosis, okay? When a caterpillar turns to butterfly, those of you who are studying biology or who have studied biology, you know how it is. Metamorphosis. The changes goes. And it's not an instant thing. Why? Because it has to go through a larva and the different stages of its life from a caterpillar until it becomes a butterfly, right? We see that particular Greek word used in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when it says, let's read it anyway, Romans 12, verse 2. I know my brain is a little slow, but I'm glad the word of God is here with us so we can actually read it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says here, if you are there, say amen. Okay, Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be a what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is metamorpho. Okay? So in other words, our transformation of our minds should be happening right now, but it's actually a process, not an instant thing. Why? Because one, when you and I accepted Jesus Christ, right away our minds doesn't become like the mind of Christ, although we are ought to have the mind of Christ, right? It says, God, the Philippians 2 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Any one of you here say, okay, I have now the mind of Christ? No one dares to raise their hand? I shouldn't even raise my hand. I cannot claim I have the mind of Christ, and yet I desire to have the mind of Christ because that's what God is telling us, or Paul was telling us, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And let's have the mind of Christ. Why? Because that's a process. The transformation that is used there is metamorpho. Okay? Now, contrary to that is alazo. Alazo is a transformation, a quick, in a twinkling transformation. I cannot think of any good realistic illustration other than a fairy tale of a frog becoming a prince. Of course, that's not in reality, right? And it's an instant. Interestingly, that word alazo is actually used in the text, 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 57. And you, everybody knows this text, right? And I hear it often also during memorial services when it says, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and this mortal shall be what? Put on immortality. This corruptible becomes incorruptible. The Bible didn't use metamorpho and say, and we shall be metamorpho. No. It used the word alazo. In a twinkling of an eye, we become changed. See? Right now, we ought to have a renewing of our minds every day because it's a process. But when we see Jesus as he is, when we see God as he is, we will be, it doesn't say become again, right? We will be like him. Why? Because it's not twinkling of an eye. You see, it's really who you look at and gaze at that you become transformed into. That's why for those of you who are always looking at anything on television or on your iPad or on your TV screen, whatever you looked at every day, that's what you become like. That's metamorpho, of course. It's not a twinkling of an eye. But alazo is practically a miracle. You call that, a fairy tale. It's magic. From a frog into a prince, that's magic. Of course, that never happens. Truly happens. That's only in stories. But it's actually a real happening. Is a miracle. When God comes, when Jesus comes, when we see him as he is, we will be like him. Don't you desire that? Oh, yes, when I look at myself, I always preach, and I lead the choir and singing and praises to God and all that, and then I catch myself becoming angry at my wife, and I say, oh, Lord, when will I be like you? I long to be like you. And then I thought, my mind is already transformed, and then I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, and I say, and I say, Lord, I long to be like you. But the Lord said, don't worry, you will be. I'm working on it right now. Your mind, because your mind, your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts, but I'm working with you. You have your mind of Christ. One day soon, you will be like me. We will be like him when we see him as he is. And according to that, what? Oh, by the way, there's another Greek verse. It's actually meta schematizo. It's not used so often in the New Testament, but it's, okay. It's actually, literally, it means to fashion. It's more of a change outward things. It's used both positively and negatively in the scripture. One example of a negative one is in 2 Corinthians 11, 20. Let's read it anyway. So instead of me taking it from my brain. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 11. Let's open it. 11, verses 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the what? Apostles of Christ. The word transformed there is using metamschematizo. It's simply an outward appearance. It's similar to Satan also transforming himself into like angels, the light of the angels. That's the word that's used there. It's outward appearance. So I can only think of like a chameleon, you know. A chameleon doesn't really change, but it changes color outwardly. So basically, that word is mainly a change outwardly. And that's not the kind of change that God wants to do for you and me. Although it is used positively in Philippians 3, chapter 21. And he says it will transform our corrupt body into a glorious body. Right? So in other words, God actually doesn't only concern ourselves with renewing of our mind. He also is concerned about our outward appearance too. Not to fake it, but to look exactly like him. Like Jesus. So in other words, for some people who are arguing, that's okay, only the heart is the only one important to God. It doesn't matter how your outward thing look like. No, of course, it matters as well, because your outward appearance is actually what people see anyway, right? So if it doesn't even conform to God's image as well, then you're not a good witness. Or will you be? So in a way, that meta-schematizo to fashion is used in Scripture as both negatively and positively. But God's purpose is metamorpho now and alazo when he appears, right? Well, so much about that. The text says, when will this happen? Clearly, this will happen. We shall be like him when he is revealed. Did you notice that I'm going backward on that text instead of me starting from the beginning? Well, because I really want to lay the foundation where you really understand the changes in people's lives, in a Christian life. There's a change now, and there's a change also when he comes. And the ultimate transformation is the alazo in a twinkling of an eye. Okay? So, and then it says, before that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Before that, it says, but we know. John tells us, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. He did not say, but I surmise, or but I think, or but maybe. John is very sure. I know for a certainty that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. And this is a promise, a particular promise, a certain promise that I'm only look forward to. I really want to be like him. And this is the promise. One day, same Jim, don't worry, you will be like me. That's what this text is trying to say. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, because he shall see him as he is. Let's read the rest of the verses. It says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it hath not yet been revealed what we shall what? Be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Did you notice that the last lines that I've said, it says, John was talking about the now and the not yet. You notice that? The now and the not yet. So God is also concerned not only of our temporal life here on earth right now, the now and the not yet, yes, but unfortunately, our focus on the now and the not yet is oftentimes Then now is all the hustles and bustles in life and all the things that we care about here on earth that really doesn't matter to God. But God wants us to focus on, once again, let me go back to that. It says, the now that he wants us to focus on is that we are what? Wow, I lull you to sleep. Children of God. What we need to focus on, the hic and nunc, the here and the now, is that we, you and I, who accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, are now children of God. And if we keep that in mind every day on the here and now, rather than on the things that we think are more priority, that will motivate us on how we act and do things here on earth. If you and I, what does it mean when you and I are children of God? You act like children of God, right? And when you are children of somebody, who do you obey? Do you obey a stranger? You obey your parents, right? Same thing. Since we are now children of God, we do what the will of our parents, our spiritual parent is God. Since we are children of God, that's what we need to focus on. And it says, but it not yet. And oftentimes, we often talk only long for the not yet to happen while we don't really like to think about the here and now. We don't want to think of who we really are right now. And we say, okay, yes, Lord, I'm waiting for you, because the not yet is coming, I'm coming. And so I'm waiting, 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 doing nothing. Well, now you should think you are children of God. Act like children of God. Do like children of God. Act the will of your Father, who he is your spiritual parent, after all. Right? Oh, yeah, sometimes we think all that we matters is the now, but some of you are now thinking of the not yet. Oh, yes, we should be thinking, but the not yet that we should really be focused on, that we should aiming for, is to be like him. And when that happens, it will happen. What? When we shall see him as he is. Well, just like that little boy, okay? I went on. Just like that little boy who was left in a strange place, waiting and waiting and waiting for coming. I hope that's the same thing, that you're waiting. Whatever things that attracts you and detracts your attention from thinking of the Lord and what you do should really not matter if your mind is focused on waiting for the coming of God. Just like the boy. Oh, yes, when my mom comes back, she comes with another basket. And by the way, that basket is full of goodies. There's a lot of yummies there, very yummies. Same thing with God when he comes. But do you think that boy cares? Like, oh, yes, I'm waiting for my mom to come back because I want that chocolate. I want that apple there. No, that didn't even come to my mind. Oh, some of you might be saying, okay, I'm waiting for the Lord. I want to really go to heaven because there are the streets of gold and all these beautiful things. No, those are only additional yummies that Jesus brings with him when he comes again. The main thing is I want to see his face, her face. I want to see God's face or Jesus' face the way he really is. While I act and live according to being a child of God, my focus on the not yet is that face I want to see. Because when I see that face, of course, that's just an artist's face, of course, painting. The way he really is, I will be like him. And that's the one that motivates me on why I live like a child of God. Oh, when I see that face, when I see God's face, what glory will that be? When by His grace I shall look on His face. The song says, that will be glory for me. You probably haven't sang that for a long time. That's our closing song today. I'm asking the choristers to come up here and let's sing that song, hymn number 435. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face. And as you sing this, don't just sing it. Sing it with a heart and sing it with all passion and sing it like you really long to see that face. And believe you me, you will experience the glory.
I invite all congregation to please stand. Hymn number 435, the glory song. Let's sing together.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. That will be glory, for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be then will glory for me, for glory for me. His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory, be glory for me.
When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. Lord, please put that desire in our hearts, that the glory that we want to long for is only to look at Your face by Your grace. It has been long, O Lord, we have been waiting for You. It has been long since we have told ourselves we are Adventists waiting for Your coming. But, O Lord, we desire to be like You. But You said this will happen. The ultimate transformation that we are waiting for, to be like Jesus, to be like our God, is when we see Him face to face. By Your grace, O Lord, we'll be there. Thank You, O Lord, for the encouragement. Dismiss us now with our blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.